ಮೌಜಗಳಾವಕುಂಡನವತೀಂ ತೇಜೋಮಯೀಂ ನೈಷ್ಠಿಕೀಂ ಸ್ನಿಗ್ಧಾಪಾಂಗವಿಲೋಕಿನೀಂ ಭಗವತೀಂ ಮಂದಸ್ಮಿತಶ್ರೀಮುಖೀಂ ವಾತ್ಸಲ್ಯಾಮೃತವರ್ಷಿಣೀಂ ಸುಮಧುರಂ ಸಂಕೀರ್ತನಾಲಾಪಿನೀಂ ಶ್ಯಾಮಾಂಗೀ ಮಧುಸಿಕ್ತಸೂಕ್ತಿಂ ಅಮೃತಾನಂದಾತ್ಮಿಕಾಮೀಶ್ವರೀಂ. We are discussing the Sahasranama, the thousand names of Devi, as found in one of the Puranas, Lalita Sahasranama. So Lalita Sahasranama means like thousand names of Lalita or Devi, Lalita Ambika. So Lalita Ambika or Tripura Sundari or Parashakti. So this is one of the works of it, like one of the basic or foundational work of Tantra, Devi Bhaktas, Tantra Bhaktas or Tantra system, as well as like it serves as a reminder for Vedantic opinion or view, remembrance of Vedanta, not only mere remembrance of Vedanta, but it also helps us as a sadhana. So when we chant it daily, it helps in purification of the mind through Nishkama Karmam. It's one of a Nishkama Karmam, wherein we are offering everything onto Devi. And it also, like, the added advantage is that it is embedded, or like Vedantic views are embedded in the Sahasranamas, in the thousand names. So if we are able to remember Vedanta or Vedanta as is found in these namas, well and good. In case we are not able to understand or know, still it is fine, it serves its purpose of Chitta Shuddhi. But the same sadhana of Lalita Sahasranama becomes a sadhana for Chitta Shuddhi, as well as a means of contemplation, a means of mananam. Mananam or Nididhyasanam, both ways, it helps. So if we go through the article of the import of Lalita Sahasranama, or what is the main subject matter of Lalita Sahasranama, we can find there that Lalita Sahasranama harmonizes Vedantic view, the Vedantic view of Brahman, with respect to Devi, the form of Devi. So the form of Devi is just a means of contemplation, not exactly contemplation, but means of focusing the mind or making the mind eligible for contemplation. And the moment we add knowledge to this, then it automatically becomes contemplation. So we are contemplating on Devi the moment we mix or we remember that Devi stands for Nirguna Parabrahman, Advitiya Brahman, that Brahman who is the substratum of the illusory world. So that is what is clearly brought out in one of the Nama as Mithya Jagat Adishthana. Om Mithya Jagat Adishthana Namaha. O Devi, I prostrate you who are the substratum of the illusory world. That's how the Nama says. So it's up to us, it's up to an individual, up to a sadhaka, to find out as to how he can utilize these sadhanas, these beautiful works, or these works which are meant for sadhana, for purification of mind, and how the sadhaka can extend it to Vedantic Shravana Manana Nididhyasanam. So any moment we are listening to the Namas, we are understanding the meaning of Namas, it is Shravanam. Any moment we are analyzing about the Nama or trying to reflect upon the Nama, it becomes reflection. And any moment we are chanting it, any moment we are remembering the Nama, the thousand names, it becomes Anusandhanam or Nididhyasanam. So in that way, it helps us. It not only purifies the mind, but it also helps it also helps in remembering Vedanta, and implementing it, thereby like helping us in aparokshanubhavam as well. So it not only helps us as a sadhana, but it also helps us as remembering Vedanta or Vedantic implementation of Shravana Manana Dhyasanam in one way or the other. So remembering that, remembering this, like we will try to learn the namas, meaning of the namas, so that any day we are chanting the namas, each and every nama, when we are chanting, we can remember the meaning. When we remember the meaning, it becomes, it's no longer a mere action, but it becomes something that we do out of passion, out of love, because we know the meaning. So it's fine. Like, it is okay if a person is able to drive a car without knowing what is happening inside, or how it is really driven. He can just like sit inside the car, hold the steering, have a balance with the steering, and just know that, okay, when you have to go, you have to press acceleration, when you have to stop, you have to press brake. That is enough. But if we try to find out as to how the car works, a brief explanation of the mechanism that happens inside the car, then we'll feel a kind of love towards the car. There will be respect towards the car. When we respect, then we will get back the respect in the form of the car running very well, car running good. So if we don't do proper maintenance, it's fine. It's not a big deal if we don't do maintenance regularly. But still, it may affect us. We may not do maintenance, proper maintenance. We will miss something. All of a sudden, the car will break down. It may even end up in an accident or death as well. But if we are able to maintain it properly, if we know that, okay, this is the mechanism, so I have to do. Even like we, for anything that is that has chains as part of it, like women, like will be well aware of it, that like if you have a sewing machine in your home, then it has like chain and other components in it. Therefore, we have to oil it frequently. So similarly, it's a chain gear mechanism. It's a chain. So it's a chain mechanism. So we have to use oil change. We have to do this. We have to do that. If we do that, it will help us. Similarly, if we are able to understand the emphasis given to chanting of Lalita Sahasranama, then we will be able to appreciate it more, get more benefit out of it. So both people, like a person who is aware of what is happening inside the car and who is not aware, both will be able to utilize the car, but the person who is aware will be able to utilize the car to the maximum. He'll be able to utilize the car more than the other person because he knows things. So knowledge of things is very important. And Kanji Paramacharya, he quotes one Smriti Shloka, which says that there are six types of inferior learners, and one among them is a person anarthajnyaha. Arthajnyaha means one who knows artha. Anarthajnyaha, one who doesn't know meaning. So that is one type of lower level of lower type of learners. So if we have to, like, what is the, oh, it doesn't matter whether it's lower or higher. It really does matter, because if we are lower type of learners, then we'll not benefit much. But if we are higher type of learners, we'll benefit the maximum. Similarly, if we know the meaning of each and every nama of Lalita Sahasranama, then we will benefit more out of it. If not, we'll only gain, the fruit that we gain will end up with Chitta Shuddhi. Whereas if we know this, then we'll be able to go beyond and reach the goal of Aparokshanubhava. Remembering this, like, we will try to see the next five namas. I haven't gone through the namas, so starting Monday, we will try to see 10 namas daily. But for today, like, we will see just 5 namas. So we have till the last day, or the last discussion, we have seen till the 11th nama. So the next is the 12th nama. The 12th nama is Om Nijaruna Prabhapura Majjad Brahmanda Mandalahi Namaha. Nijaruna Prabhapura Majjad Brahmanda Mandala. So this is the last nama, which speaks about Devi's glow, Devi's radiance, or the brightness in Devi, and the quality of Devi. Starting the next nama, starting the 13th nama, Shankara enters into Pada Keshadipadam description. That means like explaining each and every aspect of Devi, starting from the head. So this is the last nama where this is not written by Shankara. So this is said to Agastya by Hayagriva. So Hayagriva is the person who has given Lalitasahasra nama to Agastya. So Hayagriva is speaking about Devi's radiance or brightness, light, or prakasha rupam, prakasha swarupam. He ends that in the 12th nama. So Nija Aruna means one's own. Aruna means like Aruna means Surya, but here Aruna means Prakasham. So Nija Aruna, Aruna Prabha. So Aruna Prabha, Aruna Prabha means Aruna is, can be like translated as Surya, but here Aruna Prabha means light equivalent of sun. That means like it is the right light is reddish color, reddish light. So her own, like Nija, own red or bright light. Puraha means like, pura means like it is spreading, it is going everywhere. And Majjad Brahmanda Mandala, and in this light Brahmanda Mandala, Brahmandam. So Brahmanda Mandala means mandalam. Mandalam means like different galaxies or things, worlds in the Brahmandam. So in the entire universe, whatever worlds we can find, so whatever galaxies or whatever a small earth or similar things we can find, all those mandalam. So the mandalam, all the mandalas in Brahmandam, Majjanti. So Majjat. So Majjat here, it's a root. So Majjanti is the mandalas Majjanti. So mandalaha Majjanti or mandalani Majjanti. That is the that's Sanskrit, so we won't get into it. So Majjat means submerged, or like Majjat is the word used when we fall into a river or into a pool of water. Hridi Visha Swam Manasa Chinvata Majjatava Pavana Chalana Rodat Atmanishto Bhavatvam. So this is one of the shloka like which we all ardent seekers of Vedanta should compulsorily know. So when we hear this shloka, immediately we should say this is from Ramana Maharshi. Ramana Maharshi's very first shloka. Hradaya Kuhara Madhye Kevalam Brahma Matram Hi aham aham eti sakshad atma rupena bhati hrithi vishaswam manasa chinvata majjatava. So he speaks about two parts, as like one is with the mind, controlling the mind, and the other is like controlling breath. So controlling breath, manasa chinvata majjatava pavana chalana rodhat. So like controlling them, by controlling breath, Majjatha, so enter into the ocean of chit or consciousness, enter into the self, delve into the self, or the ideal word is dive into the self through controlling of the mind or through control of breath. So that's what Ramana Maharshi says. So Majjat means like this entire Brahmandam is diving into this light. That means this entire Brahmandam. So how can Brahmandam dive into a light? Is it possible to dive into a light? It's not possible. So what, here it's a poetic way. So it's a way of telling that the entire world is pervaded by this light. So that means Devi's own prabha, Devi's own prakasham that comes from the Devi's body, that illumines the entire world, that that throws its light on the entire world. That is what is being told here. So how can Devi's light pervade, or like in Devi's light the entire world or the entire universe dive? It's impossible. So it is possible. The earth dives into sun's light. That is a wrong statement. Like, if sun himself cannot cover the entire earth, then if Devi covers the entire universe, Devi's light covers the entire universe, that there is only one way, which is that Devi pervades the entire world. That means Devi is present as the substratum, as the essence of each and every object that we see. This means what here it means is that antar bahishchatat sarvam yapyat narayana stitah. Narayana Sukta says, yachya kinchit jagat sarvam drishyate sruyate piva antar bahishchatat sarvam yapyat narayana stitah. Yachya kinchit jagat sarvam, whatever is there in the world, drishyate sruyate piva, that we can hear or see or any other thing, antar bahishchatat sarvam, tat antar bahishcha sarvam, all those inside and outside, vyapyan narayana stitaha, vyapyat narayana stitaha, narayana resides in each one of them, pervades each one of them in and out. So that is the interpretation here. So it means that the entire, when we hear this nama, we should remember, Devi's light makes like everything is diving into Devi's light. That means everything is present in Devi, everything is present as nama rupam in Devi. So the next nama is the 13th nama. So the next nama is champaka ashoka punnaga saugandhika lasat kacha. Om champaka ashoka punnaga saugandhika lasat kachayai namaha. So champaka ashoka punnaga. So champaka ashokam punnagam. So like, women will very well know each and or what each and each of these words, the three words of champaka, ashokam and punnagam. Though current day, like, people will not know these names because they know only by the English name. For me it's even worse, I don't even know English as well. So don't ask me, like, you can go through any site or some wherever, like, Lalita Sahasranama Bhashya is available. It's available from Ramakrishna Mission, and understand what are these. But champaka ashoka punnagam, so these are flowers, various flowers. So champaka ashoka punnaga saugandhika lasat kacha. So lasat kacha, kacha, kacha means like shiroruha. Shiroruha means hair, or like it means like the hair in the head. So shiroruha kacha, kacha means hair in the head. So hair in the head, saugandhika lasat. So saugandhika lasat, lasat means shining, or shobha. Shobha means like it is, I don't know the right, like, it's very tough to translate Sanskrit into English, but lasat means it is shining. So shining, or like it is present also, we can say here. So lasat kacha, so lasat kacha lasat, so in the hair shining or present. What are champaka ashoka punnaga. So champakam ashokam punnagam and saugandham, saugandhika. So I think saugandhika, saugandhika means like sugandham, with sugandham. So all these flowers, saugandhika flowers, that means sugandham flowers with sugandham, flowers with good smell, all these flowers are present, are shining in the hair. So description from Keshadi Padam. So Kesham means head, but Kesham can also be literal or direct translation of kesham is hair, though it's considered head as well. So kesham means hair. So Shankara, Hayagriva, here Hayagriva starts from the hair. So Devi's hair is filled with these beautiful flowers which spread good smell or smelling flowers in her hair. So the next nama is Kuruvinda Manisrini Kanat Kodira Mandita. Om Kuruvinda Manisrini Kanat Kodira Mandithayai Namaha. So if we have spoken about hair, the next item that comes to mind is Devi's Kiridam. So the Kiridam that is present on Devi's head. So that is what is being spoken about here. So Kuruvinda Manisrini Kanat Kotira Mandithai Namaha. So Kuruvinda Manisrini. So Mani means like various jewel. So Kuruvinda Mani. So Kuruvindam and Padmaragam, different kinds of jewels that are present. All those are Kanat. So Kanat means like Kanat means like golden. Kotiram. So Kotiram means like Kutiram is house, but Kotiram means crown or crown. Kiridam is what is the meaning of Kotiram here. So Kiridam or Devi's Kiridam Manditha. So Devi's Kiridam, like the Kiridam that Devi has, that is endowed with. So Manditha means like it is endowed with, it is decorated with Kuruvinda Mani Sreni. Sreni means like top or topmost or very valuable. All those things are there, which are made of Kanat, which are made of gold. So all those are present in the crown of Devi. So that is the meaning of this nama. So the next is 15th nama. Om Ashtami Chandra Vibhraja Alikastala Shobithai Namaha. Ashtami Chandra Vibhraja Alikastala Shobitha. So Vibhraja Alikastala Shobitha, it's together. So when you split it, Ashtami Chandra Vibhraja Jat Itta. So half the Alikastala Shobitha. So Ashtami Chandra. So Chandra means we know moon. Ashtami Chandra means Chandra on the 8th day. So 15, like it is like once in 15 days, moon becomes like Purnami and Amavasya. That means like moon becomes full moon to new moon, new moon to full moon. So it means middle. That means exact half. So Ashtami Chandra means half moon. So exactly half moon. Vibhrajat. Vibhrajat means like Vibhrajat means present. Again, like Vibhrajat means Virajat. So Virajat means sitting or residing or presiding over. We can take any meaning. So it means just, it's normally that it's present. So that is, but present in a great way or something. Like Virajat means like it's like the usage is for kings and other people, that it's a Virajat, they are sitting, they are seated on a crown and that kind of feeling. So that's the meaning here. So Ashtami Chandra Vibhrajat. So Ashtami Chandra Vibhrajat. So Ashtami Chandra is present where? So Hayagriva spoke about Devi's Kiridam. The next comes Devi's forehead. So that is what is being spoken here. So Alikam. Alikam means Alikastalam. So Alikastalam means Lalatam. Lalatam is also another word for it, like forehead, we can say. Forehead or I guess forehead. Yeah, Mastakam is also another word. So Lalatam Devi's, Lalatam Devi's forehead is like a half moon. It's perfectly like a half moon. Shobita, Shobita means shining or shown. So Devi's Lalatam is Shobita, is decorated by Ashtami Chandra present there. So the half moon present there, that is Devi's Lalatam, or the beauty of Devi's Lalatam. So these three namas speak about Devi's form, how it shines. So we can interpret Vedantic way as well, but it's not that essential. But we can say Sugandham. So Devi has all these flowers in her hair. So flowers are meant to give away fragrance or like beautiful smell. So beautiful smell means that takes us to a different plane. So that takes our mind to a pleasant state, that takes our mind to a calm state, which means like the mind will be capable of contemplating on Brahman, contemplating on Devi. So that is the purpose. So we may think, okay, I don't keep flowers in my hair, though I am a woman, I don't do it. Why? I don't like it. It's traditional. I don't like it. But there is an import for each and every traditional activity that we that is present or prevalent in Hindus. Though it's a pity that we don't know the essence, therefore we don't follow it. So, for example, like women are supposed to wear tilakam or puttu, like women bindi, they are supposed to wear, but nobody wears it. Like people wear it like as if it's a formality, so just there will be like one, it's as if a needle has pricked. So a red color or green color or any, whichever is the color that a colored needle has just pricked. So that's the way people wear it. But the reason behind wearing it is Bhrumadhyam. So it is the place of Ajna Chakram. Ajna Chakram is the place for mind. So the moment we try to put something in between our eyebrows, that means our mind, it is for calming the mind. It's for controlling the mind. It's for making the mind calm. It's for like when we are in having busy schedule, when we are having a tough time, our mind is fluctuating or it has a lot of turbulence, then this helps us because it is the place, like the moment we have something there to cool or something there to indirectly affect the mind, then that will lead us from the state of turbulence to a state of calm state. So that is the purpose. So we can even see Amma in, or any sannyasis and people like wearing it there. So that is the purpose, but it's not understood in the right way. It's misunderstood as well. There are extreme cases as well. People start wearing like fancy things over there, and people don't wear as well. So that's how. But that's part of life. But we need to understand that each and every traditional thing that we do, that has a meaning to attach to it. So it's not something which age old people just thought it will help. They just started something without any import, and then it just went on, it just continued, that's it. It's not that way. The fault is with each one of us, that we are unaware of these kind of rituals. So as we are unaware of these kind of rituals, we miss it. So we can't come away from it. We can't do it neither, because we don't believe it. We can't come away from it because it is tradition, because it is like in society, we need to do it. Therefore, we'll just do it for the sake of it, but we'll not benefit out of it. So it's not essential that we need to follow those traditions. But if we understand the meaning and do it, then automatically all those will help. So the same question of why should I follow it can be asked for why should I chant Lalita Sahasranama? Why should I follow Vedanta? Because I am Brahman. If I am Brahman, why should I follow all those? So it's the same question, like it boils down to everything. It's not essential, we need to do it. But if we can become aware of what each one of the rituals does, then it will help us, because The real meaning of each one of them is helping us in the spiritual path. So, like, it's not essential. What is essential is remembering Devi. What is essential is remembering the Vedantic concept. Remembering Devi as pervading the entire world. So that is what is important. But these kind of things instantly make us remember. If we see someone, like, if we see someone, like, wearing a chandanam, then immediately when we see the person, we'll remember Ishvara. So that is the... that is what is associated, that is the thought that is associated with Chandanam. Therefore, it will help us. So, it will not only help us, but it will help others as well. Unknowingly or knowingly, it will help. So, the purpose of women wearing beautiful flowers or flowers filled with fragrance is that it will calm the mind. It will take a mind to a different plane so that it will be able to concentrate or meditate. And then various ratnas in Devi's kiridam. Why does Devi need ratna? Devi doesn't need ratna. One simple reason why ratnas and all those beautiful decorations is done is to capture our attention. The mind, if there is something which is very simple, will not be attracted towards it. If there is something which is very strange, if there is something which is very rare, if there is something which is very beautiful, unique, then our mind will go behind it. That's the nature of the mind. So, going by the nature of the mind, if we assume that Devi's crown has a lot of jewels in it, immediately our attention will get focused. So that is one of the way. And the other way is, all these jewels were granted. So all these are there with Devi. So Devi is not going behind these jewels are an ornament to Devi. It's not the other way around. Well, what we do generally in life is like we go behind things. We go behind money. We go behind fame. We go behind power. We go behind relationships. Everything, we go behind it. But with Devi, everything is an ornament to Devi. That means everything is following Devi. Devi is not following everything. So if we have to progress in the spiritual path, we will have to become like Devi. Whatever is there, we have to consider them as an ornament to us. So what do we do with ornament? Okay, vairam. So vairam is something which is very very costly and very women are generally attracted to vairam. So vairam, like if we are hungry, can vairam give us satisfy our hunger? It cannot. We'll have to sell it, get money, and then only eat food. So an ornament or things like that are which serves some purpose, and then we have to discard it. We cannot hang on to it always. It will not satisfy all our purposes. So that is what is the essence. So everything that we have around us, we have to consider them as an ornament to us. That's it. It serves as a purpose. Even as ornaments, we wear ornaments, women will generally have ornaments in the bank locker. Whenever some marriage comes, they'll take it, wear it, go to the marriage, show off for 2 hours or 3 hours or 2 days and 3 days, and then come back again. It goes to the locker. So similarly, we should understand the importance of things in life. Everything that we have, everything that we perceive, everything we have, we experience, the entire world is that way. Like, it serves a simple purpose. Understand that, we'll not be affected by it. Only if we go behind it, then we will get affected. So it will be the case with the person who asked a boon, that whatever he touches should become gold. Suddenly his son came running, he touched him, he also turned gold. This person wanted to eat something, but he couldn't eat because it turned to gold. So it will be that way. So that is what is the essence of... So Devi wearing these beautiful ornaments denotes that we shouldn't go behind worldly things. So it's not necessary that we remember the import of each of these namas. If we can, well and good. If we can't, still it is fine. We can just remember that, oh, When I'm worshipping Devi, I'll see Guruvinda Manishrini Kanatkodira Manditai Namaha. Devi has kiridam with lot of jewels. Ashtami Chandra Vibhraja Dalikastala Shobitai Namaha. So, there are many interpretations to it. So, it means like a broad forehead. A broad forehead means indicates a lot of intelligence in some cases. But here it means beautiful. So, beauty. So, Devi's like forehead is... it's beautiful. It's so beautiful that like it is so attractive. And seeing, like if we see a person whose face is radiant, that very moment all our sorrows will vanish. So that's the reason why Swami Vivekananda used to tell that if you are having some sorrow today and you are having a sad face, then it is apt that you sit in your home or lock yourself inside a room, because if you go out you will spread that sorrow. So the moment we see somebody sad, immediately we'll ask, why are you so sad? So it gets transferred. Similarly, if we see somebody happy, then immediately we will become happy. The instant reaction is we will become happy. Maybe if it is my enemy, if it is your enemy, then you will become sad. So that there is no doubt regarding that. But the purpose is that maximum people, like whoever is there, maximum, at least even if with the enemy, he will not become sad. A real enemy will not become sad. A real enemy will try to find out, how is he happy? Let me also try to do it. I also want to become like that. Let me find out his secret. And then he'll come and ask, how is it that your face is shining today? What did you do? Did you use Fair and Lovely? Did you have like did you use sandal paste and all? So he'll try to follow it. So that means when we have a happy face, we are spreading happiness. And spreading happiness, it means that we don't need to control the mind or have vision of oneness, but indirectly we are taking we are making the place we live, the environment, a happy environment, which again is conducive to our spiritual path. So that is the purpose. So that is what it says. And Devi, we don't need to speak about Devi. Like Devi is always like beautiful. Devi's face is shining. So we can also see that like when we are angry, our forehead, like there will be wrinkles in our forehead. When we are sad as well. And like other scenarios as well, when we are running for some distance, then we can find wrinkles and other things in our forehead. So forehead denotes like it's the first place we can see a person, like happiness in a person, whether a person is really happy, whether a person is blissful. So we'll continue with the namas on Monday. Hari.